Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Matthew 7 and 7 says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." I want to talk to you a little while today on the thought, a path to the front door. When I think about these three things mentioned in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given, this is a fundamental aspect of prayer, because this is revival praying. This is a prayer that brings you to a place of humility and brokenness and contrition before God, because you need Him. It is a revelation and an understanding that without God, there are certain things in the physical world that cannot be repaired. There are certain things in the emotional world that cannot be encouraged. There are certain things in the spiritual world that cannot have salvation if the presence of the Lord doesn't come, if God doesn't intervene. And so ask, and it shall be given. There are things that are needed, even materialistic things, food on the table, clothes to be worn, shoes on the feet, medicine sometimes, even when a person is sick. And we serve the great physician. Sometimes he allows medicine to do the work, and sometimes he comes in when all the other options of doctors and medicines and technology have failed. Then God takes it from there as the great physician. So He provides, He protects, He gives us things. Oftentimes we don't even deserve them, because by His grace He's given us favor. Even in the midst of our sinful and iniquitous failures, He came to our world. He came to love us. He came to deliver us. He came to set us free. And He came to set up this path that if you ask, it shall be given. But don't just stop with revival praying. You need to have revelation praying. You need to seek until you find, because there are things to be discovered. And that's why you need to have a confident relationship with the Lord, because Romans 8:1 said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so when you're after the Spirit, you're not living with the indictments of the past. You're not serving out sentences of shame. You're not bound up in the chains of guilt. You're not constantly being haunted by yesterday's failures. But you have been changed. You've been transformed. And you're in pursuit of something. So you're moving forward. And that's the difference. You need to be moving forward with a discovery mentality. In fact, Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." The question is, why are you running? To get something in front of you, or to get away from something behind you? You see, if you're only trying to get away from something behind you, then you're running with an escape mentality, and you can't be a true seeker of God, because there won't be revelation. There's too much condemnation. There's too many shadows of guilt that you're trying to get away from. There are too many demons that are intimidating you when you've been set free by the blood of the Lamb, by the name of Jesus, and by the authoritative Word of God. First of all, you have to have humility in your life, because humility is what gets you to the high places. And when you realize that you're nothing without Him, a man that thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing deceiveth himself. And then James said, "God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace, favor, opportunity to the humble." And so there's going to be more spiritual opportunities open up on this path of discovery, trying to get to the front door of the mercy of God, of the presence of God, of the house of God. But you can't do that if your asking is filled with arrogance. You can't do that if you're praying perverse prayers. For instance, if I'm praying for God to kill somebody because I don't like them, That's a perverse prayer. If I'm praying for some miracle of finances to come my way and I don't pay tithes and offerings, that's a perverse prayer. That's not hitting the mark. It's asking amiss. And so the truth target is not what we're aiming at, but in treachery and temptation of the world. But when you get on a path of humility, when you walk the path of righteousness for his name's sake, it'll be easier to find the front door. It'll be easier to find and be in the presence of the Lord. And it'll be easier then to understand that you can have revival praying and you can have this revelation praying, that there are going to be discoveries. There are going to be treasures to be found. There are going to be nuggets of truth and spiritual experiences that are going to make you wise. That's going to build your testimony. That's going to increase your faith. It's going to develop your character so that you become more Christ-like, so that your testimony shines in a dark world. Psalm 15:1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? First it says, he that walketh uprightly. So again, we're trying to find that path to the front door. And I'm not just talking about the path to the unsaved that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's an obvious. If you've never been baptized, never repented of your sins, you've never been filled with the Spirit of God to make the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is the gospel of Christ, applicable to your life, then that's something you need to do as soon as possible. You can't delay your need for deliverance or procrastinate the only true saving peace which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the death that he died on the old rugged cross. But I'm also saying this about true disciples, those on the journey of discipleship. How do we stay in the presence of the Lord? How do we find the front door, if you will, to the next dimension, to the next level of our faith? Well, he that walketh uprightly. Because when you walk uprightly, you're going to ask and it's going to be given. You're going to seek and you're going to find. You're going to pray those prayers that are revelation prayers. These are things that are discoveries about the character of God that become more radiant to you, that become more appealing to you and attractive to you, so that our affections are set on things above and not on things on the earth. So he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. So it's how you walk, it's how you live. Your behavior is what affects your theology. We live in a world of so many corruptions and so many compromises, even of the Bible, people that have come up with twisted truths and perverse theologies, turning those things that are sacred into profane concepts. And so he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness is going to be headed toward the presence of God. And then it says, and speaketh the truth in his heart. So he's walking down the right path. He's got the right kind of actions. And when he has conversations, he's not afraid to tell the truth. He's not going to sugarcoat it. He's not going to water it down. He's not going to dilute it according to the measures of last day tolerance. He's not just going to try to fit in or look for the acceptance of the crowd or the approval of the world. He's going to speak the truth. And then in verse 3 it said, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. So not only does he have here a relationship with God, but he also has a true compassion and a true measure of integrity toward the world. He's not going to get involved in gossip. He's not going to get involved in rumor spreading. Why? Because he's on that path of prayer. He's asking that it might be given. He's seeking that he might find. And then he's knocking that it might be open unto him. That's relationship praying. But how do you get to the presence of God? How do you get to the tabernacle of the Lord? How do you walk in the different measures of faith if you're caught up in the gossip when we ought to be caught up in the gospel? We shouldn't be backbiting. We should be interceding. We shouldn't be bringing evil to somebody. We should be bringing righteous hope and deliverance. Now, I know that sometimes A true Christian can be misconstrued because if he doesn't give in to the tolerance demands of this culture, then they will make him feel like he's evil and that he's not doing what needs to be done in order to make people feel peaceful and comfortable about who they are. So when you have conviction, sometimes you're going to be called mean-spirited, you're going to be called abusive, but that's just a misrepresentation of who you really are. Because you're trying to spread the truth, not lies. You're trying to shine a light of hope on people's world, not have that hope extinguished because people want to come up with a substitute savior or some idolatrous fashion of humanistic thinking that can get man out of its trouble. Listen, the chaos going on in our world right now is not going to come to calmness because of human means. It's going to be by divine intervention. But God is not going to step in where there's haughtiness of heart and there's pride that goeth before destruction and there's a spirit of Cain that wants God to just accept the fruit of their ideologies, or the Judases that want it to be all about their avarice needs and their pockets being filled because of greed. God's not going to step in. It's going to take contrition. It's going to take brokenness. Even the things that need to happen on a national level in the United States of America needs to come because people get broken and humble themselves before God and repent of the iniquities and the lawlessness that's been allowed to be unleashed in our society. Now again, think about asking and it shall be given, revival praying, seek and ye shall find, revelation praying, knock and it shall be opened unto you, relationship praying. You don't open the door to a stranger like you would to somebody that's familiar to you, or especially a relative, somebody you love, somebody whose visitation you're expecting. They pull up, they're bringing their bags in, maybe they're coming by for dinner. You're going to open the door because this is an open door of relationship. My friend, there are people who are stumbling in religious darkness. They have given themselves over to the mind of deception. And through manipulative means, they think that they can control even the concepts about who God is, what God will allow, and where God is working. But my friend, the word of the Lord is very plain and it's forever settled. And it doesn't matter who tries to eliminate or exchange the word of that Bible because they want it to be watered down. They want it to speak to a culture of tolerance and sin permissiveness and iniquity redefining and transgression reinterpretation, because then if you come up with all of these euphemisms, you don't have sin or sinners anymore. You just got people that are going through struggles, and you got people that are sick, and you got people that are misunderstood. They are mislabeled. Everybody's got their identity wrong, and so they come up with a new version of themselves, but it's a perversion, and it is adverse against the will of God and the word of God. And so we're trying to find the path to the front door of the house of God. It is, in a sense, a figurative and spiritual drive, a true emotional motivator in the kingdom of God. When we get the spirit of Abraham on us, who was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And in that path to finding that city, Abraham built altars. Everywhere he went, he left an altar behind. He got up early in the morning to seek the Lord. He talked to him in the afternoon. And in the evening, when the sun was beginning to set, he was seeking the counsel of God. He was wanting to know how to find the front door of the presence of the Lord. Well, I can tell you it's not as hard in this generation to find it as it was for Abraham, because when Jesus came to this world, God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's the one in John 14 that gave us a hint as to how to find that path to the front door when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. First of all, you need to believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. He's not an alternative route. He's not one of the bunch in world religions. He's not on a multiple choice list of a pantheon of gods or saviors. He's the only route to redemption. He is the only door to deliverance. He is the only hope of humanity. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to realize that he's going to be your Savior now, and he'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother now. But one day he's going to come as your conquering king. And so, friend, you're not going to be able to find the presence of the Lord if you just make Jesus a part of some syncretism, of some mixed world of theologies of witchcraft and the word, of seducing spirits and a savior. No, friend, you've got to lay aside all those other weights and the sin that doth so easily beset you. You've got to focus on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation of who he is in the Word of God. He was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He was the only saving Messiah who went to a cross and had to do that as the saving sacrifice, as the Lamb of God whose blood could wash away our sins. So you've got to believe that beyond the shadow of a doubt. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go to prepare a place, I will bring you unto myself. The Lord has left a trail of truth for every sinner, every broken heart, every wounded spirit, every agonizing child, every shattered life, every broken spirit. He wants to come in and lead you by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants you to have a spiritual experience with him. He wants a river of the Holy Ghost to flow out of you, for he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so if you want to know what the path to the front door of the house of God, where that can be found, where it is, first of all, it's obedience to the Word of God. It's wholehearted belief that he is who he says he is. And then if you follow the instructions of the Word of God because you're obeying it, you're going to have faith, you're going to have fruit, and you're going to remain faithful. And if you remain faithful to the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we're going to have that path to the front door of the New Jerusalem, to the gates of that city, to the front door of a mansion that's been prepared for every disciple, for every believer that has chosen him over this old world, and realizes that, as the old songs say, we're just pilgrims passing through. And something else that keeps us on that path to the front door of everlasting life, of a city where the Lamb is the light, is understanding the power of the Word of God in us and the development of our personal testimonies, because Revelation reveals that we will be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Well, the word of our testimony is what is connected or bridged to the word of his testimony. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, it uses that kind of hyperbole or metaphorical example of silver going through seven different purification processes to get rid of all the detritus and the dross and the impurities to be pure silver. The Word of God really didn't need that because it was pure from the start, but it was using that analogy because the Word of God has been through enough to know the difference between what is real and what is not real, what is fake and what is authentic. And my friend, furnace faith isn't easy believism. When you have the Word of God in you, and when you live by that Word of God, you're going to go through some trials and temptations and tests, but you will come out of that furnace with a greater faith, with a better understanding. It's what Paul said. He didn't just talk about the power of his resurrection, but he talked about, or he even coupled that with, the fellowship of his suffering. It's not that we walk around with a masochistic hunger to be done wrong, but it's that we have a relationship understanding that there's persecution that's going to come at times. The world is going to reject who we are and what we believe at times. And so when you go through the furnace of those kinds of circumstances, you come out like the Word of God, purified. And it's purified people by the process of the Word of God and the fire of the Holy Ghost working in us. These are the ones that will have the path to the front door, because didn't Jesus say there is a broad way that leads to destruction? These are men's opinions. These are paths of perversion, avenues of apostasy, boulevards of blasphemy, people who come up with all kinds of doctrines and ways of living and invented dogmas that let them do what they want to do because every man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes. Well, there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. But he said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The reason is because this was like some house that was off the beaten path. It wasn't in the middle of town. You had to have specific directions to get there. And when you walked through the small gate, the narrow gate, it wasn't some wide gate that allowed many to go in at the same time, but it was a narrow gate that maybe just two or three at a time had to go through the gate, and then two or three more, because it was a narrow path. And then that path would lead maybe through a wooded area, maybe through some brush, and then back behind there would be the house. That path would find that house. But if you didn't know how to find it or follow somebody who knew how to get there, then you're not going to be able to find it. Well, that's the same thing with the gospel. People cannot save themselves. You have to have somebody preach you the gospel. You have somebody to teach you the Word of God, and somebody that you can follow who knows how to find the house of God, the presence of the Lord. And through the teaching of the Word and the preaching of the cross, now we know how to find it. We have a path to the front door. And while there are many who are stubborn and full of rebellion and full of lies and treachery and deceit and want to have the spirit of Cain and manipulate their way into the kingdom of God, well, they're just going to keep stumbling around and not being able to find it because they're off course. Because the only way to find it is through forgiveness and through repentance and a relationship with God and surrendering and submitting yourself in obedience to the Word of God. That's the path to the front door. My friend, you don't want to be like the foolish virgins in Matthew 25, that when the bridegroom came, when all 10 virgins were slumbering and sleeping, but they heard the call, they got up to go meet the bridegroom. But the 5 foolish virgins said, "We don't have any oil. You've got to give us some of your oil." But the wise virgins told the foolish virgins, "We can't give you of our oil unless we don't have enough." And so the foolish virgins had to go to the marketplace, get some oil, trim their lamps, and then try to get back in time to meet the bridegroom. And the scripture even indicates that they came to the door and they knocked on the door, but they weren't allowed to come in because the festivities have already started. Friend, you don't want to be too late. You may even discover the path to the front door. There are some right now listening to this message. You know exactly what to do to be saved. You're not in a broad way of destruction when it comes to theology, because you know you need to repent. You know you need to turn your heart back to God. You know you need to quit messing around with the things of the world, and you need to get back to holiness, and you need to get back to a relationship with God where you're surrendered to His will again, because you've made decisions that has brought defilement and discouragement, that has brought the filth of the flesh back into your life. But you know what to do. You know the path to repentance. You know where that altar is. But my friend, don't be like the 5 foolish virgins and wait too late to get a refilling of the oil to get baptized in the Holy Ghost again. You need to get rid of a backslider's ways who are filled with what they want and their own desires and come back to the desire of God, because he'll give peace that passes understanding. Because even if you know the path to the front door, if you come too late, it doesn't matter how much you pound on that door, you can't get in. It's like the days of Noah. When Noah and his family got on that ark, the Bible said the Lord shut them in. He sealed them in, which is a type of being sealed by the Spirit, and nobody else could break in. It didn't matter how much they pounded on the door, they couldn't get in that door. So my friend, don't just know the path to the front door. You need to take that path right now, the path of repentance that will bring you to an everlasting reward, so that when you come to that door, he will open it up and we can all enter in and rejoice with everlasting life in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.